Good morning, church. Before I begin my homily, I want to share words with you that was spoken by the Most Reverend Michael Curry, presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, this week. Wherever and whenever hatred or bigotry rises up and is directed at any child of God, we who follow Jesus of Nazareth and therefore stand for love must act. We must stand up, speak up, and show up. Today, we do so with our Asian American and Pacific Islander brothers, sisters, and siblings. Whatever the motivation of the shooter in Atlanta, we know that we are seeing a dangerous increase in hate crimes against Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders in the past year. Stop AAPI Hate has documented 3,795 incidents. Many of our fellow children of God are living in fear here in the United States, where there is supposed to be liberty and justice for all. We who stand for love must act. We must speak up, stand up, and show up. The gospel that was read this morning is about life. It is about the meaning of life, the reason for life. And it is about death, and it is about the meaning and timing of death. It is about the meaning of Jesus' life and death, but it's also about the meaning of our life and death. At different times in my life and my development, I understood the meaning of these words by Jesus and those like them in different ways. As a young child in my pre-adolescence, I was exposed to and educated by the Black Baptist Church. Now, those old Black churches served an extremely valuable role in our community. I cannot begin to list all the things it did for our people and for me personally, particularly for those of us that were raised in segregated, poverty-stricken places. The Black church was a haven. For many of us, it was the one place we could be somebody, where our egos were properly nourished. It was the place where our skin color didn't matter. We learned to speak properly in public. We learned to carry ourselves with dignity. We looked around and saw people who looked like us have positions of authority. The church was led by Black preachers and deacons and mothers. Black teachers taught in Sunday school. Our parents walked around with their heads held up, unconcerned that they would be castigated or demeaned. Everyone was treated with respect and dignity. All these things were in marked contrast with what we experienced in the outside world, the world that was consumed by racism. But the theology of the Black Baptist Church was problematic for me even then. It was a theology of punishment and transaction and death. The gospel reading today would have been interpreted as God's warning that unless you followed his commandments, you were destined for punishment and to be banished into darkness forever and ever. That God was truly a God of carrot and stick. If you did right, there would be rewards. But if you did wrong, there would be punishment. Punishment and damnation imposed by God. It was a transactional kind of faith. And then I went to Wednesday afternoon Catholic instruction. Now, Catholic instruction was when you were dismissed early from public school to attend classes in Catholicism at the local Catholic church. Now, don't ask me how the Chicago public school system justified Catholic education in a Catholic school during public school class time. Just trust me when I tell you that it happened every Wednesday afternoon 60 years ago in Richard Daley's Chicago. But the nuns taught what us reinforced and exaggerated what the Baptist church was teaching. The nuns would have taken today's gospel and taken it a huge step beyond what my Baptist church did. My Baptist church would have left it at the consequences of not obeying the direction of Jesus' words would have led to death. The nuns were somehow found in those very same words, going to hell and burning in eternity. They would have found in today's gospel images of a wonderful, serene heaven juxtaposed to horrendous, painful, burning hell. Today's gospel would have been a lesson in how to get into heaven and avoid hell. I don't think this gospel reading from John is about a transactional relationship with God. I don't think the death being talked about is a consequence imposed by God as a punishment for action or inaction. Rather, it is an internal, natural, and present consequence for a chosen lifestyle. The gospel reading today is Jesus preparing himself and others for his soon-to-be-realized destiny. Jesus' speech prepares us for the passion narrative, but is also a commentary on the meaning of life. It is also teaching us what life is really all about. It is Jesus telling us that we must have something for which we are passionate, something that we would sacrifice all else for. Life without meaning is a kind of death, but it is not a death that is a result of punishment from God. It is not a death imposed from the outside. Is a death that emanates from within. It is a death of the inner spirit due to an emptiness, due to a lack of purpose, the absence of meaning. You must be willing to die for something in order to really be alive. That is the message of Jesus here. And further, you must be willing to get out of yourself. True meaning only comes in service to others. Martin King says that life's most persistent question is what are you doing for others? Jesus says here in John, you gain life by being willing to serve him. And how do you serve Jesus? Jesus tells us in Matthew, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Jesus says you do for him by doing for others. You serve Jesus by serving the least of his. My beloved St. Francis said it best in a prayer I'm sure all of you have heard. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is this darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, and it is in the pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Yes, these words of St. Francis express clearly and eloquently what my Jesus is talking about. Meaning comes from looking outward, not inward. You get as a result of giving. You live as a result of dying. Your life has meaning because it is given to others. It all seems so paradoxical, so counterintuitive. But then much of what Jesus taught is counterintuitive. Why should this discourse on his life and ours be different? So the teachers in my Baptist church, the nuns of my childhood, would have read Jesus' discourse presented by John as a threat, but I do not. I don't hear the words of a wrathful God. I don't hear Jesus say, if you don't follow me and do as I say, I will punish you with death and damnation. I hear the words of observation and advice from a rabbi, a gentle leader, a Rebbe and savior saying, learn from my experience and from what is to come of me and my life. And Jesus continues, and he tells us that it won't be easy. The road will be rough sometimes. A meaningful life should not be confused as an easy life. Jesus clearly knows his destiny, and he understands the reasons for it, but that does not make it easy for him. He says his soul is troubled. He rhetorically says, should I ask my father to relieve me of my responsibilities? Ask him to rewrite the script. If Jesus finds it troubling at times, who are we to expect anything different for ourselves? Following Jesus is not an easy task. Above all else, the life of Jesus is a life of love. Loving everybody is not a simple task. I'm not talking about some kind of gooey Hallmark kind of love. That love is easy. Mutual love, loving somebody that loves you back is not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about loving those who hate you and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus is talking about turning the other cheek. He is talking about making others and their needs more important than yourself and your needs. I was having this conversation the other day with Mike, a Roman Catholic Franciscan priest. Our conversation got around us talking about a mutual friend of ours who is a postulant and who's to be ordained into the priesthood this spring. Jay, the postulant, is a drug addict. And Jay's own words, a straight up heroin fiend with a golden arm. Father Mike said of Jay, he turned his cross into his gift. Now I've heard of words like that before, but they have particular meaning for me when applied to Brother Jay. You see, Brother Jay has devoted his life to embracing and helping exactly the people most of us try to avoid. And had it not been for the pain he has suffered, Jay would not be able to give to the lowest in life the way he does. And we should all strive to be like Brother Jay. The question is not, will we suffer in life? We will. The question is, what will we do with the suffering? We should all strive to transform our crosses into gifts. Life will bring us challenges, but we must use our challenges to make us better equipped to serve others. Use our pain to make our lives even more meaningful. We will serve Jesus and make our lives meaningful by serving others. We serve others by being Jesus. Jesus said in the scripture we read this morning, where I am, there will be my servant. Saint Teresa said, Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. You are the eyes through which he looks compassion on the world. You are the feet with which he walks to do good. You are the hands through which he blesses the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Being Jesus means standing up against racism. Standing up to racism is easy when we find ourselves in a group of like-minded people. Standing up to racism is only meaningful when we are actually confronted with it. Being anti-sexist at a feminist convention is not as meaningful as challenging race sexism when you see it at work. Being Jesus means living the Christian life and carrying the message of Jesus everywhere you go, not just to places where it is welcome. Our living a meaningful life is not determined by our ability to cite book and chapter and verse and quote Jesus on the importance of visiting the sick. Your life will have meaning because you go to the homes of those shut in and into the hospitals and into the convalescent home. St. Francis says, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Mahalia Jackson, a Black gospel singer from the South Side of Chicago, sang, if I can help somebody as I travel along, if I can help somebody with a word or a song, if I can help somebody from doing wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. So if you find yourself wondering what is life really all about, get up and do something for somebody else. If you find yourself having this eerie sense of emptiness, despite your professional or educational accomplishments, get up and do something for somebody else. If you have collected all the toys you can, but you still aren't satisfied, get up and do something for somebody else. When you reach the point where the happiness of others is more important than your own happiness, where the comfort of others is more important than your own comfort, where the safety of others is more important than your own safety, you will then feel and know what Jesus is talking about. You see, when you reach the point where you are willing to give your life so that others' lives are better, then you will understand and have true self-value and your life will have meaning. Then you will feel and understand what Jesus is talking about when he says, those who love their life will lose it. Amen.